that there were some things Karl Popper could not see, although his vast work in almost every way leads us to it, that the world of class is inherently totalitarian. And that's what we're talking about today. And that this mindset is reproduced through its institutions. We know this in our hearts. When we fall asleep about age 3, enough of that. No. Spending decades just to get back to our original truth. No, that's wrong. It's time for us to face that monumental wrong that has been done to us in the name of success for the species overall. We were lied to and are continuously, daily, being lied to. Democratic rhetoric, what I would call propaganda, would deny this, that the world of class is inherently totalitarian, argue that the difference between dictatorship and democracy is not one of hard or soft totalitarianism, but one of quality, that there's a qualitative difference. De Tocqueville, for instance, says this, quote, centralization has become a word of general and daily use, without any precise meaning being attached to it. Nevertheless, there exist two distinct types of centralization, which it is necessary to discriminate with accuracy. Certain interests are common to all parts of a nation, such as the enactment of its general laws and the maintenance of its foreign relations. Other interests are peculiar to certain parts of the nation. And I'm going to interject here. This is all so familiar, and it probably could have been written 2,400 years ago. You feel me? I mean, it's like we're repeating the same thought and getting deeper and deeper dug into a huge mess, because it has been equated with success. The notion that we have to have a nation and designated leaders to fight for us who are too weak to do anything but cheer them on and keep, you know, dragging that wagon or whatever it is they tell us to do. We've been lied to. Continuing. Other interests are peculiar to certain parts of the nation, such, for instance, as the business of different townships. When the power which directs the general interests is centered in one place or vested in the same persons, it constitutes a central government. In like manner, the power of directing partial or local interests, when brought together in one place, constitutes what may be termed a central administration. It's evident that a central government acquires immense power when united to administrative centralization. Thus combined, and I'm going to interject here, this is what I'm going to equate with what we call totalitarianism. Continuing. Thus combined, it accustoms men to set their own will habitually and completely aside, which I'm saying we are all conditioned to do at age 2. Set your will aside and serve the state. And it's hard for us to trust that because it's so effectively replaced with the ruler's thoughts. Continuing, thus combined central administration and central government, it accustoms men to set their own will habitually and completely aside, to submit, not only for once or upon one point, but in every respect and at all times. And by the way, recall that quote from Plato. This is precisely what he advised rulers to do. Everyone should have a leader in matters great and small. No one should make any decisions without first looking up and consulting above. And they have been working double time, triple time to actually make that a reality. No escape routes to be seen. Closing off of any other possibility. There is no alternative, they always like to say. Or you will be compelled to come in. Now you can check in, but you can't check out. Well, we have to challenge that. That's propaganda.